The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we will read the first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We read the divinely inspired scriptures that far this morning. May God bless His holy word to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this particular passage of sacred scripture concerns the future, and that is very evident from the future tense of the main verb of the passage. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. And that shall be is not only the shall of certainty, it is the shall of futurity. It is with grateful hearts that we welcome this morning God's encouraging word with regard to the future. Most worry and anxiety occur in the contemplation of the future. And it's probably safe to say that most, if not all of us, just this past week have had some worry about something. And it was probably about the future, whether that be the morrow or the next week or the next year, and the unknown of the future and what will happen. But if anyone is going to worry about the future, then why worry about comparatively small and minor matters like family and health and finances and school and church matters, when the scriptures teach us that out in the future, there's a day of wrath coming. The day of judgment in which the God who is a consuming fire towards sinners will pour out all of His fury upon rebellious sinners in condemning them to everlasting destruction in hell. The day of wrath is coming, and Jesus taught us, Matthew 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, like a persecutor. Don't fear a persecutor. Don't fear persecution out in the future, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It is a fearful thing to be a sinner and to be guilty and to fall into the hands of a wrathful God. A day of wrath is coming. The gospel is good news. Good news in Jesus Christ. And the good news of the gospel in the inspired passage before us this morning is that we shall be saved from wrath. We don't have anything to fear. We justified believers shall be saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as is pictured for us on the table this morning. We don't have to worry about food and drink and raiment and health and finances and church and school and home and family and children. We don't have to worry. But neither do we have to worry about the day of wrath and our own personal appearance at the judgment seat of God, when all of our sins will be laid out before the all-searching eye of God. The good news of this passage of Scripture is we shall be saved from wrath. There's nothing to fear. The impenitent and the unbelieving must be afraid and must tremble. The ever-present generation of vipers must be afraid of the day of wrath that is to come. But for the justified believer, the Word of God says, you shall be saved from wrath. That's the gospel of God's grace that comes to us this morning in our celebration of Holy Communion. And let us consider that truth under the theme, saved from wrath. Looking first at the meaning, second, the ground, and third, the certainty. Saved from wrath. The wrath that appears before us in the text this morning is the wrath of God. That first of all. The text says we shall be saved from wrath through Him, and that is from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. So, first of all, our God is a God of wrath, and we are not going to make any apologies this morning. There are many professing Christians who, when they encounter the concept of the wrath of God in the Bible, and you do that on almost every page, make apologies as if the wrath of God is something to be embarrassed about for a Christian. As if the wrath of God is a defect or flaw in God's character. As if the wrath of God does not harmonize with the goodness of God. Our God is not embarrassed or ashamed of His wrath. And neither am I. And neither are you. Our God is a God of wrath because He is a God of holiness. And in His holiness, our God is perfectly devoted to Himself and jealous of His name and His glory. And therefore, our God, with the entirety of His holy being, detests sin as rebellion against Him and His goodness. Since He detests sin, His holiness comes to expression with respect to sin by being angry. Our God is a consuming fire then toward evil. So Psalm 7, verse 11, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God's wrath is His indignation against evil, so that He's determined to destroy the evil. And this wrath of God is not a character flaw in God. It's the expression of His holiness. But if you were to have a God who would be so indifferent with respect to that which is rebellion against Him, that He does not respond to that in anger, that's a character flaw. But our God is holy, and in His holiness, He's a God of wrath. The wrath of God is expressed in terrifying judgments like the curse that came after the fall, or the water of the flood, or the fire of Sodom, or the fire and brimstone of hell. Now, sometimes the believing child of God experiences something of the wrath of God. And you must always remember two important things. Number one, that wrath that the believer may experience never arises out of a heart of hatred in God. But it always arises out of God's heart of love toward the believer. And in the second place, that wrath that the believer might experience is never intended by God to destroy him, as it is the wicked. But it is always intended by God to make His child miserable, so that he will be driven to His only consolation, who is the deliverer, Jesus Christ. And so it has a good end and a good purpose. We sing, for example, in Psalter number 218, stanza 4, "Thy people perish in thy anger sore, because thy face now shines on them no more." And then out of that misery comes the plea, "Revive thou us, and we will call on thee. Jehovah God of hosts, again restore. We shall be saved when shines thy face once more." The wrath of the text is the wrath of God, but now in the second place, it is a future wrath that will come in the day of judgment. That's indicated, first of all, by the fact that the text uses the future tense of the verb. We shall be saved. And then in the second place, we have the little definite article preceding the word wrath, so that the text literally reads, "We shall be saved from the wrath." And then you ask the Bible, what is the wrath that will come in the future? And the Bible says it is that wrath will come in that great and notable day of the Lord, when in the final judgment, God pours out His wrath in condemning rebellious sinners to destruction in hell. Revelation 6 verse 17 says that when the Lord returns at the end of the world, the wicked will cry out and say to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, with regard to that future wrath of God, most scoff. And they say there is no God, and there will be no day of wrath. But you and I take this seriously. There is a day of wrath coming. And now thanks be to God for the reassuring gospel word of this passage of Scripture, which teaches us we shall be saved from wrath. We shall be saved. We have a present salvation. Salvation is always deliverance unto life, eternal life with God in His covenant. But salvation is also always deliverance from. And perhaps no biblical concept so clearly and powerfully teaches what we have been delivered from as the concept, the wrath of God. We are saved from the wrath of God. The Bible says that a blade of grass cannot stand before the sun. The little blade of grass grows and the sun comes out and it withers the blade of grass. But what will happen before a man, rather to a man as he stands before the sun? Stand out underneath the sun. It will burn your skin. But what if you take a man and you bring him all the way to the surface of the sun? It will consume him in a moment. He can never approach the surface of the sun. But what would happen to a man if he were to approach unto the very face of the thrice holy God, whose holiness is infinitely greater, brighter, and more glorious than the sun? What will happen to the sinner? He will be consumed in a moment. Sinners cannot stand. You and I cannot stand this morning. But our present salvation is that we have been delivered from the wrath of God, the killing, destroying wrath of God, through Jesus Christ, who has turned that wrath away and brought unto us the sweet light of the favor of God's countenance. We have been delivered from wrath. But now the question is, what about the wrath that is to come? Because there is a day of wrath coming. And this word of God says, we shall be saved from that wrath through Jesus Christ. We have salvation, not now in full. There is an aspect of our salvation that must yet be realized, and that is our final justification in the day of judgment. We must all appear at the judgment seat of God and be judged before the righteous God. And in that day, the wrath of God will be poured out upon all of the guilty, rebellious sinners. The passage is teaching we justified believers who are in Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from that wrath through Christ. We will be declared righteous and heirs of everlasting life, free from the wrath of God. Now that's good news. The word gospel means good news. That's good news. The whole world responded to the good news of this past week. A dozen young boys were rescued from a flooding cave in Thailand. And it was good news. That's really good news. And the whole world rejoiced. But you know there's something worse than being trapped a mile deep in a cave with rising waters and the loss of oxygen? And it's to be trapped in the oven of God. Malachi 4 verse 1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Romans 5 verse 9 has good news for the believer this morning. You shall be saved, rescued, delivered from that wrath through Jesus Christ. Saved from wrath. The question arises within us, what is the ground for this salvation? That's a question I have as soon as I read the text, and it's a question you have. We have that question in our conscience because we have not perfectly obeyed God, not even this morning. And we have very grievously sinned against this holy God of wrath. And even our best works are yet defiled in sin before this holy God. And so when the passage says we shall be saved from wrath, I read that, I hear that, I understand that, and together we say, what is the ground for that salvation? There must be a ground. And the answer is, the ground is the ground for every blessing of salvation that comes to us, and that is our justification. How could God pour wrath, destroying wrath upon a justified man or woman? It's impossible. The ground for salvation from wrath is our justification. Justification is the main concept in this epistle. And the apostle here is not elaborating on the doctrine of justification, which is the legal pronouncement of God, whereby he declares the believing sinner to be righteous in Christ by faith alone, apart from all works. We shall be saved from wrath. On this ground, we are justified by his blood. The text says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, typically we speak of justification by faith. Here the apostle sets before us the concept of justification by blood. Justification by faith is emphasizing the subjective, which is our experience of justification. It refers to the reality of God's pronouncement of our innocence in the forum of our consciousness, which we receive through the instrument of faith, so that we know and we are assured that we are righteous before God on the merits of Christ. Justification by blood is emphasizing the objective, which is Christ's accomplishment of our justification at the cross, and is the legal basis for that subjective justification in the form of our consciousness. So you see, justification by faith refers to what happens when you believe God's promise. And justification by blood refers to what happened when Jesus died for you some 2,000 years ago on the cross. Justification by blood is a significant concept in the chapter because it reveals to us the particular character of the all-important death of Jesus Christ, wherein is our salvation. The apostle has not yet told us anything about the character of the death of Jesus Christ. He has introduced us to that concept, the death of Christ, in verses 6, 7, and 8, where he says Christ died for the ungodly. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But how did our head and mediator die? Because there are many different ways to die. And that's a very important question if we will be justified on the basis of what he did. How did he die? That's an important question in light of the whole of Scripture and everything foretold in the old dispensation through all of the types and the ceremonies. Justification by blood refers to Jesus' death and teaches us that it was a painful sacrifice. It was a sacrifice. He did not die peacefully in his sleep. If blood was shed, that tells us there was a sacrifice, and the law of God demands a sacrifice for sin. He died as a sacrifice. And secondly, if blood was shed, that indicates, figuratively speaking, that indicates that his death was painful. He didn't die quietly in his sleep while lying in a bed. He suffered. That there was blood indicates he suffered. What did he suffer? How did he suffer? And now we get to the main point of the text. He suffered God's wrath he suffered the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. As a substitute, he stood in our place. As we will read, that wrath of God pressed out of him that bloody sweat in the garden. It was that wrath of God that pressed out of him those agonizing cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I thirst. God's wrath is awful, but nowhere from the curse after the fall to the flood to Sodom and Gomorrah to hell do we really see how dreadful the wrath of God is and how strongly God detests sin, as when we look at the cross and see that God poured out all of his wrath upon his dear only begotten Son for the sins which we committed, so that he shed his blood and he died painfully as a sacrifice unto God. Only death by blood, that is to speak figuratively, only a sacrificial and painful death could be sufficient to atone for all of our sins. If Christ did not die a bloody, painful, sacrificial death, that is, if he did not die under the wrath of God, the word of the text disappears. Because there is still wrath for us. And we will not be saved from wrath. We will endure the wrath. We shall be saved from wrath. The ground, justification by blood. When the apostle speaks of justification by the blood of Jesus, he means that the ground for our justification by faith, and therefore the ground for our present salvation from wrath and the ground for our future salvation from wrath, was accomplished in the bloody death of Jesus Christ, which we commemorate in Holy Communion this morning. We are now justified. And God assures the penitent believer of that in the supper. We are now justified. There is no wrath for us. Therefore, we shall be saved from wrath. It is, however, the concern of the apostle to underscore the certainty of this future salvation. So he makes a comparison. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Much more than, he's making an argument from the greater, much more than to the lesser. Now in the context, the apostle has taught us in verse 5 that we have a hope. We have a future good that is coming and it will never shame us. How do we know that? How can we be confident of that? That we have a hope that will never shame us. God loves us. Verse 5, God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. How do you know God loves you? The apostle goes on, verses 6, 7, and 8, to give the proof, the demonstration of God's love. And he leads us to the cross, where he shows us, 6, 7, and 8, that Jesus Christ, he's the revelation of God's love, Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet ungodly, wicked sinners. That proves God loves us and that our hope is secure. Now, the apostle goes on in the text, verse 9, staying right there at the cross, and he will use that cross, the death of Jesus, to make a comparison in order to underscore the certainty of our future salvation from wrath. So, we have then two blessings that are being compared in the text. One, our present justification by the blood of Jesus, on account of which we are saved from wrath today. That's one. Two, our future final justification in the day of judgment, on account of which we will be saved from the wrath. that God will pour out upon the guilty. Justification now and no wrath. Justification later and no wrath. Two blessings. And his argument is this. If we are now justified by the blood of Jesus, and that is certain, it is even more certain that we will be justified through Jesus in the final judgment and saved from wrath. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The apostle is taking justification and he is raising it to the highest heights, ascribing to it the greatest significance. The apostle is taking the cross, the death of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, and our justification in that blood, and the application of that justification to us by faith. And he is making it the greatest truth we could possibly know. And his argument is, are you justified right now? Now, that's the word of the text. Then even more certain is your future justification and salvation from wrath. Are you saved now? You shall be saved from the wrath to come. Our present justification guarantees that we are heirs of eternal life, and it guarantees that there is no condemnation now or ever for us. What Jesus did at the cross for our justification did not secure part or most, but all of our salvation into all eternity. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Look all the way into the future. We shall be saved from wrath through him. The apostle is making quite a point, underscoring the certainty of our future salvation. And that indicates to us, we need it. And we do. Because in our weakness, we do doubt. And we do worry. And we do think about a final judgment. And the devil does come along and tempt and say, yeah, yeah, you say you're justified and you're free of guilt. And often you don't even think about that too deeply. But you know one day there will be a day of judgment when all your sins and every idle word you ever spoke will be laid bare. And then what? We need to hear this certainty sealed unto us in Holy Communion this morning, unto us as justified believers. We shall be saved from wrath. And then may God take the teaching of the men of the Federal Vision and cast that teaching into hell. And that's not language too strong. That's where that teaching must go, because it's damnable. Arguably the most horrendously wicked teaching of the men of the Federal Vision, especially since an introductory conference in the year 2002, is the teaching that our good works will contribute to our final justification in the day of judgment. And though you may be justified today, if you do not persevere in good works all the way to the final judgment, you may lose your justification and perish under the wrath of God. And the stated goal of the men of the Federal Vision with this teaching is holiness, that the members of the church might be holy, because it is argued that if you teach God's people that their good works will contribute to their final justification, they will strive after good works. And they will live a holy life of obedience to God, always keeping their eye on that day of judgment. On the contrary, that perverse doctrine robs the believer of his comfort exactly at that point where he most needs it. And it robs the believer of his proper motivation to do good works. And it repudiates the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his lifelong suffering and bloody death. And it mocks the love of God, which the apostle is demonstrating in the context, the great love of God. I will stand and you will stand this morning with Romans 5 verse 9. And Romans 5 verse 9 is the blessed gospel that has a word for you and me this morning at Holy Communion with regard to the future. And the word is this: much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be justified and saved from wrath through him. That's God's word, and it's blessed. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, and it comes to us as a word of comfort. We are concerned about our sins. We do grieve over them. We confess them before thee with sincere, godly sorrow, and we wait to hear what thou wilt say. And this morning, peace to thy people thou dost speak. And now we respond and say, hallowed be thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.